Hi friends, greetings from Florida, the sunshiny state. Hey, in a moment, I want to share some thoughts with you about focus and distraction and actually how that applies to the Christian life. Hope that'll be useful to you. Let me do a few quick updates. Yeah, I'm here in Florida this week. I am right now in Fort Myers, the west coast of Florida. Flew into Miami on Monday, and Fort Lauderdale Tuesday, yesterday in Naples, south of here. And I'll be speaking in a Christian camp in Tampa on Saturday, in Bradenton, Sunday morning, back here for a couple of days, and then across country over to the East Coast. So, yeah, good to be here. Weather's not that amazing. It's hot, but not that sunny, but we'll see what we do. Hey, as always, check out all the links below, guys. Lots of things going on, too much to talk about. Boom. So think with me. I want to get you thinking about this, about distraction. I don't know if you've ever thought much about that, or do you have a problem getting distracted? I was thinking about this morning over, I was going to say over breakfast, but I just have coffee for breakfast, but over coffee, and I actually think distraction is one of the most powerful tools the enemy has against us, and I think it is, frankly, where most of us are failing in our relationship with God. Most of us as Christians, not all, but most of us are loving God, are having regular times, maybe Sunday at church, where we're in God's presence, we're loving Him, we're abiding in Him, we are, it's glorious. And yet we find ourselves drifting. Maybe I'm just too brutally honest, but I often think it's possible, and not only possible, but it actually happens, for many of us to go for hours or even days. I mean, it would terrify me to do this. I've never done this, but I guess some people could go for weeks. But let's say days without ever really refocusing on God. Now, again, I don't think your relationship with God, your standing in Christ, disappears if you don't think about Him every 10 minutes. You know, you've been placed in Christ Jesus. You've got a covenantal relationship with God, which doesn't go up and down depending on how close you are to Him or how far you are from Him. And yet your fellowship with Him, your closeness, your intimacy, your walk with Him, your sense of His presence, that your ongoing process. You know, I don't think sanctification is a process. I think sanctification is an event. But my appropriating sanctification is a process. So, but that ongoing walk with the Lord does depend on how much I engage my mind. I put Him on the TV screen of my mind, so to speak. Or how often He is simply on a back burner somewhere. Again, I think we're all constructed differently. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made, but we're all fearfully and wonderfully made differently. So I can only authoritatively speak about myself. But I have so much going on in my life and so many different things that I know I don't rely on my own memory to remember all of those things. And I also know that I can't emotionally engage with everything all at once. If I'm speaking to my wife, I want to give her 100% of my attention, my affection, my focus, my bandwidth. I don't want to be multitasking and trying to share that. If I am speaking to my wife, but also speaking to my kids and speaking to my friends and trying to run churches and do ministry and recording videos and run a YouTube channel and trying to negotiate some real estate thing and buy and sell on the stock market and do that. I mean, if I just go on and on and on, suddenly the bandwidth that I give to anything, including my wife or my kids, reduces drastically or at an experiential level goes to zero. It doesn't mean I don't love them. It means they're not, I'm playing a different channel, if you can follow that analogy there. And I think, come on, we have everything in Jesus Christ. We have His joy, His victory, His fullness, His glory. Everything Jesus had, He gave up at Calvary, that you and I might have it back in our experience right here and right now. You can walk in the victory of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so I love you, continue in my love. John 15:9, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So everything Jesus had, we can have now. Not one day in the future when he returns, but now. The question is, though, can we keep our focus on him? And I want to give you a few quick keys in doing that today. Firstly, I would actually just say this. Even if this doesn't help you solve the problem, being aware of the problem, you know, like any addict will tell you, the first step to freedom is acknowledging, hello, my name's Gertrude, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm a heroin addict, or I'm not, but I'm just giving an example. And hello, my name's Graham, I get distracted. I have a TikTok account, I don't use it much, but I don't need to. I have lots and lots and lots of things in my life that distract me. Hello, my name is Graham. I have not been bored since 1995 or 6, or especially when I got on the internet in 1998. We live in a world awash with information. And of course there's bad information, but a lot of it's great information and good information. And we get distracted and things, whether it's a notification on your phone or just your own, you know, boom, boom, lots of different things. They pull the bandwidth away. So actually seeing that problem, being aware of it, even if you can't even solve it initially, is a good thing. Secondly, I would say this, have a vision of you, of how God wants you to live. You see, I don't actually think God wants you to walk through life 24/7, floating around the world like Benny Hinn. I love Benny, I'm not against Benny, but I mean like worrying, hallelujah. And just not engaging. You know, I'm at a Starbucks. When I spent maybe 1 minute meeting the barista here for the first and possibly the last time in my life, I wanted to give her 100% of my attention. I want her to give 100% attention to the coffee she's preparing. But I want her to have a great experience, a great day. I want to bless her. I want to not just be this annoying person who's looking at the phone. And I want to do that. So having a vision of how God wants you to live. And I think there are times, I personally would say we should, not in some legalistic way, but it would behoove us to do this every day, to have some times where you give God all of your attention, literally everything you've got, where you switch off everything. I try and have a time, I try and actually start most days with a time where just for 5 minutes I will sit there, eyes closed, no music, no nothing. I raise my hands and I sit in the awareness of God. I'm not looking to hear his voice. I am being still and I'm knowing that he is God. So have a vision of your life living that way. Thirdly, I would say this. You may not like this one, but I've accepted it. I think for the rest of your life, you're going to be distracted. People are going to pull at your time, your affections, your attention. Recently, my wife and I took a decision that we're going to have a Sabbath, and literally for us, we're going to put all of our devices away, like do no electronics whatsoever. You know, maybe perhaps some music on, or read a book or something. But we're just going to have an electronic-free day and a Sabbath day, and not out of some legalistic thing, but rather out of the principle that God gave. I saw something recently I'd never seen before. I think it's in Deuteronomy. You know, God gave the children of Israel the commandment to take a Sabbath, to keep it holy. It's really interesting, but it's the only nation on planet Earth that ever dreamed up such a crazy idea. And even to this day, most nations where the gospel has never, you know, flourished and taken over, don't have a Sabbath, don't have a day off. It's not a thing with them. It's not a concept. It's only all of the religions, quote unquote, that came out of Judaism in a way, because God gave them that thing. And yet he said in Deuteronomy, you know, don't forsake to take the Sabbath. Take a day off. Take a day holy unto the Lord, because you are no longer slaves. And I saw something just a few weeks back. I think it was actually Charlie Kirk who sort of said this on a video. He says, the reason we take a Sabbath day to the Lord is because we are no longer slaves. And I want to ask you, are you a slave? like, don't be a slave to this thing or whatever thing you're going through. Don't be a slave. Be a free person. So, yeah, I think actually realizing you're going to be distracted and you need a level of discipline around your life. I used to actually think when I first became a full-time pastor that I would let anybody call me anywhere, any place, anytime. I was sort of proud of that. I wanted everybody in my church to have my cell phone number and you can reach me. And then after a while I discovered they would. And that most of the time I actually wasn't helping people by letting people reach me. I have a law, I sometimes call it Graham's Law, that usually 90% of crises and problems will resolve themselves within 3 days without me even going anywhere near it. So if on Monday somebody calls me up like, I'm having a crisis, and I would say, hey, great, let's get together. Oh, I'm sorry, it's going to be Wednesday evening or Thursday. By the time that time comes, the crisis has resolved itself or the solution has come to them and I don't need to get involved. But if I run over with my fire engine on a Monday and start spraying industrial size hose pipe water on their life, you know, we both get wet and we both waste a lot of time. So live with guard rails. And lastly, I would say this, learn to fix your mind. I don't mean fix it in terms of it being broken, but you know, Paul says in Colossians 3, fix or set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. And learn, your mind is like a muscle. Learn to fix it on the things of God. And if you find yourself getting distracted, bring it back. Gird up the loins of your mind. And you might think, oh, I'm not good at this. Just practice. The more you focus on a specific thing, the more you will actually practice doing that. You know, I'm just thinking of an analogy here, but I'm speaking into a camera right outside of a Starbucks now. Now, like most cameras, I have a little screen at the side of my camera that can show me what the camera is seeing. But I have learned that if I have that little box open and I'm seeing what everybody else sees, I keep stop looking at the camera, the lens of the camera, like I'm doing right now, looking into your eyes, and I keep wandering over and looking at what you're seeing, and it ends up, imagine if I was speaking to you right now, and suddenly I'm speaking like this, and it's really great to speak to you, and you have my full attention, and part of you would be going, there's something a little bit off there in Graham's viewfinder. So occasionally do I need the relief of not staring intently at one thing? Sure, I'll blink or I'll look away or whatever, but I'm going to come back to you. Practice giving God your full attention. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is right now. That verse says, let us run our race. And the way we run our race is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And I would encourage you, like a horse with blinkers or blinders or whatever Americans call them, the things they put on horses, so the horse, it limits the peripheral vision. At times you've got to limit your peripheral vision that you may run your race. Selah. Guys, let me know what you find distracting, what you find challenging. I'd love to hear from you, and blessings wherever you are in the world.